And in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 17, this is the gate of heaven. The whole verse reads, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. He named the place Bethel because that means house of God. Churches like our own, but not ours, have often named themselves Bethel because of the desire that it shall be the gate of heaven, the house of God, and the Lord will be in that place. Bethel is the house of God. The text is the gate of heaven. The gate is the way in. And Jacob saw a ladder when he went in. And we have to turn now to John 1, just for a few moments, to be told exactly what that ladder is. And we're told in verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto Nathanael, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Greater things. And what would the disciples see? They would see the Lord Jesus Christ. They would see the angels of God ascending and descending upon him. The Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, is the ladder. He describes the ladder as being himself. I think Nathanael is only a guess. I think Nathanael had been studying Genesis 28. And while he had got to grips with most of it, perhaps there was something he didn't understand, like the significance of the ladder. And so when Jesus says that he saw him under the fig tree, and probably said it in such as a way as to tell him that he knew what he was thinking under the fig tree and what he was doing under the fig tree, he exclaims, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Well-instructed reply. Rabbi, a religious leader, Son of God, well, God, and King of the people of Israel. And in verse 51, we have something that makes the AV better than other versions because it can distinguish between you. He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, that's you personally, hereafter ye shall see heaven open. But ye is plural. If you used modern English, you would say, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. And I think it would be very easy to assume, you see, that it was just Nathanael, but it isn't. He saith unto Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye, that's all the disciples, shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So you've been reading Genesis 28 and you've been praying over it. And the center of that whole dream is a puzzle to you, the ladder. And do you know what all you disciples are going to see? You're going to see great things. You will see heaven open. You'll see angels ascending and descending like they did in Genesis 28, but the ladder will be the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He might have been meditating on something different. Not just the ladder. There's something here that I find very challenging. And it's exactly the same in Genesis 28 and John 1. The angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Wouldn't you have expected the angels of God descending and ascending? And yet both times, Genesis 28 and John 1, it's the other way around. Well, we'll turn now to Genesis 28. Genesis 28 is not quite, but you understand it easily if I say it's the passing over of the baton. Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. God had spoken personally to Abraham and called him and promised him the land. Likewise, God had spoken personally to Isaac and said that he was entering into that same promise that his father Abraham had known. And Genesis 28 is the occasion when God speaks to Jacob. Earlier on in the chapter, Isaac blesses him. In other words, Isaac not only wishes him well, but he's able to convey a blessing, even though he's not the older son. But that's not the same as God meeting you. There's nothing that can replace the living God meeting with you. There is no authority in life, no authority for anything you do, unless God has said so. And this is what we meet in Genesis 28. It's a very situation which perhaps Jacob was glad to get out of. It was an unfavorable situation, the family situation, though the Lord's will was being performed through it. And the Lord does to this day reveal himself, especially, not always, but very often, to those who are in distress, those who are in a particular form of trouble, those whose trouble perhaps are deep in the heart or the mind, and they don't expect others to understand, but the Lord does understand. Here is sovereign grace. Here is the Lord appearing to Jacob totally unexpectedly. And this is how the Lord visits all those who were saved. Personally, unexpectedly, and they love him. So here is a description in this chapter, not of how to be saved, but of who the Saviour is. He is the ladder. So if we look and see what happens now to Jacob. He went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So commentators tell us that from Beersheba to where he spent the night at Bethel or Luz was about 50 miles, just short perhaps. We know that Paddan Aram, where he was going in Syria, was about 500 miles. So Bethel represents about a tenth of his journey. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord calls us when we're young? When we're setting out in the early days of life? When we're just beginning and we don't know what difficulties or what we're going to expect. We suspect there will be some, as Jacob did here. But he came to a certain place. It was no experience like anything he'd been to before. It was remote. It was mountainous. And we read here that he took of the stones of that place. That could mean he took one of the stones of that place, or he took many. The translators have put pillows as if there was more than one stone in verse 11, and I think that seems to be the place, the fact that there were more pillows, because in verse 18 it says, Jacob rose early and took the stone that he had put for his pillows. It would seem that he took one stone, and for some reason we could describe that as pillows. It doesn't really matter. I just thought it might make it a little more vivid. It was a place of discomfort. When the Lord comes, he makes us very comfortable. He saves us. We know we have a destiny. But it might well be in a most uncomfortable situation that he speaks to us. Something that makes us sit up, something that makes us think. Something when we're embarking upon something new. Well, Jacob lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Have you ever had a dream in which you actually, it's not just a dream, but you seem to be participating. You're actually in it. I think that's what's happening here. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Now, this is the place and the time where God speaks to him as much as to Abraham, as much as to Isaac, and vests in him all that was ever given to Abraham and Isaac. And it's the same in conversion, that as much as any other person who's ever lived, the promise of salvation through the shed blood of Christ becomes real to us because God makes it come home to us. Remember the Lord Jesus told the story, the Sadducees said to him, there were this one lady and these seven men, and cut a long story short, Jesus said to them, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not God of the dead. He is God of the living. So Jacob's alive now. Jacob's alive with the Lord. And in this chapter, what begins is an eternal relationship that will last for eternity. So this gate of heaven leads Jacob to the ladder. Now, it would seem that Jacob understood the ladder. Maybe Nathaniel didn't. But that Jacob understood the ladder. Now, at the top of this ladder was God the Father. This ladder reached the top of it to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending, same way round, and descending upon it. So he's got this ladder, and he's got the angels of God going both ways, but ascending is put first before descending. We'll come to that. And the Lord stood above it and said to him, I am the God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land that you're lying on now, to thee will I give it into thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. The promise is exactly given to his father, personally by God. And here it's coming to him. Oh, he'd grown up knowing all about it. Perhaps dad had made a particular friend of his brother because he liked his venison. But mother knew and had told him that in him as the younger son, God had vested his promise. But he'd not himself met with that God. And sometimes it is, if we grow up in a Christian family, that we know of what the gospel is. We know of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know of all sorts of things. But we know there's something vital missing. God himself hasn't visited us. And here is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ meeting Jacob in a saving way and speaking definitively to him of the promises that had been given to his father. Now, everyone who's coming to belief needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to them, needs to know all the things that their fathers and mothers know, needs to know about the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to know about the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, but actually need to know the Saviour speaking it to themselves. So this ladder, John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us, without any sense of, we can't contradict it, that he is the ladder. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ladder set up from earth to heaven. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved, except that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No man cometh to me, to God, except by me. So here we're introduced to the Saviour. The ladder is the Saviour. And I'm certain from the reactions here that Jacob understood that. And so he comes to this ladder. And he sees this ladder leading up to God. He sees Christ as the mediator. He sees Christ as the one in whom he may trust to have the way to God. Some commentators, Matthew Henry and Gill, they speak of each different rung being a different way. But it's very clever, but I don't know that we have to take it like that. The Bible doesn't quite. But it's a ladder. It's someone, the Lord Jesus Christ, is set up so that people may meet with the living Father. Now, not by works, not by climbing a ladder, but we do only come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gate of heaven, the opening to where you see the ladder, is the wonderful place that is called Bethel, the house of God. God opened the door, and there was the Saviour. There was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he looked, he saw that God was at the top. Now, his life had not been particularly good, and he still had some of his bad qualities. But here he could see that the Lord had sent the Saviour, the ladder, to him, that he might personally know the way to heaven, that he might personally know the Saviour in an intimate way. And while he was meditating, God spoke to him. While he was asleep, behold, I am with thee. But it's the Saviour whom he met, the mediator, the one between man and God. There he met him. And what does it mean that the angels of God ascend and descend upon him? Now, clearly they were going both ways. It was such a ladder that presumably they couldn't pass each other en route. Presumably one went up and the other one came down, and he saw this happening a number of times. But in both places, the scripture does place emphasis on the fact that it's the going up first and the coming down after. Now we know that the angels are sent to those who shall be heirs of salvation to minister to them. And we can see that the living God could send angels down to help guide, to help comfort the Lord's people. Angels appeared to comfort the Lord Jesus Christ. They came, didn't they, like they did to Elijah, to feed him after the temptation. They came to be there and support him in Gethsemane and at Calvary. They were there when he went up into heaven. Angels minister not only to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to his people. But before the Lord, the Father, sends them down, it looks as if they need to go up with a message first. And here we see the role of the Lord Jesus as the mediator, the one who is the, we'd call it umpire, middleman, whatever you like, between man and God. We are unacceptable to God unless the man, Christ Jesus, intercedes on our behalf and draws us to himself. And the ascending of the angels seems to speak of the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his people. They're pictured as taking those messages. Some of the commentators put the stress elsewhere and say they're providences. But I think of them as the prayer. The Lord Jesus sends his prayer to the Father. The Father hears the Son and blesses those for whom the Lord Jesus has pleaded. The Lord Jesus has shed his blood, and he shed his blood for his elect. An elect one has come, not knowing that he's elect, believes the gospel, understands the Son. The Son introduces himself, as does the Father, and then the Son prays to the Father, and the Father answers that prayer, and they become ministered to by the heirs of God. So the angels are ascending and descending upon this ladder. The gate of heaven is the place where, wherever it is, wild place, rocky place, home, abroad, foreign, may even be, as the forefathers of many of our churches wanted it to be, the house of God, here, in church. But the gate of heaven is where we meet with the Saviour, but essentially the first time. David wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but the gate of heaven is the gate that very first time. He came back to there. He doesn't call it the gate of heaven another time. But it was always to him the way in, the way that God revealed himself to him, and he did so by Christ. And it is a wonderful thing. If this church is a Bethel, that people come here and it's the gate of heaven. They come in and the door is opened and they see Christ, the mediator, the Saviour. And they hear the Father, well, they hear the Saviour calling them, and they hear the Father bestowing the promises that have been bestowed upon every believer on you. But it's then the gate of heaven. It opens up a new world. It opens up a world of heaven. It opens up a different world. And it opens up a world of close living to the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on in his life, Jacob's name was changed. He met with the angel of God, who would be Christ. and he fought with him. I think, but these things are mysterious, that the Lord there is dealing with his human frailties that have persisted since his being saved. I don't know that I could prove that, but it's his dealings with Esau. He's coming to Esau, and he wants the fulfillment of the promise that he's seen here, and so he prays. And it's as if the Lord says, but you're not, I can't forget these sins. You've got all these sins still upon you. And in the wrestling, he conquers. He comes and the Lord Jesus Christ says, you really want this, don't you? You really want to be sanctified as I am sanctified. You really want to be like me. Your name shall be called Israel because you have prevailed with God. But this was the beginning. And in this case, the angel of the Lord does not appear, except that the Lord in John 1 reveals that he was the ladder. It is the earnest prayer of every Christian that those whom they know find the gate of heaven, find the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. I think there was one thing perhaps not quite right with that opening hymn which we love. The very last two lines, and thou shalt be our chosen God and portion evermore. But Bethel wasn't where he chose anything. It was where the Saviour revealed his choice of him. Doesn't spoil the hymn, but it just enables us to think and to remember. Everything in this chapter is about the Lord's initiative, about the Lord getting hold of a soul, about the Lord changing a life, about the Lord promising his safety and his guidance and his help. And these are the things that a believer needs to know. A believer may have seen, a new believer may have seen Christians who they didn't like, didn't think were Christians at all. And they may have loved it, the idea of being Christians, because their parents were, but knew that the same thing had not happened to them. Our God is sovereign, and he reveals himself to whom he will, when he will, and in the way he will. But we may pray as a church that many will yet come to him. And if he hasn't yet called us, we might pray to him that he will not pass us by. Amen. Amen.